to the section that talks about what the characteristics of somebody that's trying to have some sense, which we would call it, what are the characteristics of God's teachers? That's the fancy way of saying that. So the first thing it says is that the surface traits of God's teachers are not at all alike. We don't look alike to each other's eyes. Okay, that's pretty true. We come from vastly different backgrounds. Yep, I doubt it because you all came from New Chicago and Memphis. It don't look like nobody I grew up with.
Can you tell me what chapter this is?
We on page 9 in the teacher's manual.
Oh, in the teacher's manual.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are the characteristics of God's
teachers? Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. He says they come from vastly different backgrounds. Our experiences of the world vary greatly, and our superficial personalities seem to be different. Does that sound like they just described us perfectly? Okay. Then it says, nor at the beginning of our function as teachers of God have we as yet acquired the deeper characteristics that will establish us as what we are. So, if you're at the beginning stage, then we're at the beginning stage, which means we haven't acquired any of the characteristics that somebody that really has some sense has. I think that's great. What's the course called, you know, somebody that's really knows how to love. So we need to give ourselves a break because we're at the beginning, and so therefore we don't have any of the qualities of we don't know how to consistently love, consistently be peaceful, consistently take responsibility, consistently, you know what I'm saying? This is what the book is saying. All right, let's cool out. It's okay. We can't do that yet. Okay, that took a lot of pressure off me. That took a ton of pressure off me. And then it says God gives us special gifts because we have a special role to play in the plan of getting out of hell. So we have a special gift and you have a special gift. And your special gift is your special role. You have a special role in the play. Okay, I have a special role. You have a special role. We all have a special role, but we haven't as yet acquired the characteristics of somebody that really knows how to really love. And we all look different to each other. Okay, then it says our specialness, of course, is only temporary. So we temporarily look like we're different. And we temporarily look like we're different in time, because us being temporarily different will help us get out of here. So for whatever reason, we need to look like we're temporarily different right now if we really want to get out of the fear. Everybody still with me? Okay. Then it says these special gifts are born in the holy relationship toward which the teaching learning situation is geared. So the special gifts that we're going to have with each other is going to be born out of us having a happy relationship with each other. So the gift that we have to give to each other will come out of us having a happy relationship with each other. So I don't get the gift out of this relationship until there's peace in this relationship. That's when the gift comes. I always thought it was just the opposite. You know, then you give me the gift, then I have peace. And then he's saying just the opposite. No, you when you have peace in your relationship, then you'll be gift. The gift will come out of that. Okay. Then it says, and the special gift that we're going to have are the characteristics that you would have if you had actually advanced. So I'm going to actually have the characteristics that I would have if I had actually grown, if I allow myself to have a happy relationship with you. Then I start to acquire the characteristics that I didn't have at first. Like at the beginning when you said we didn't have these characteristics at first, and then we went, well, how do I get the characteristic? Well, I get the characteristic of really knowing how to love you through having peace in my relationship with you. And through having peace in my relationship with you, then I receive the gift of advancement. Because if I can have peace with you, I have advanced. We have advanced.
So you're saying every soul we bump into, we start all over again.
I'm saying every soul you bump into, you have another opportunity to
okay.
give yourself a gift.
Right.
Okay. And it's ridiculous how many of them we pass up on.
Right.
It's stupid, really. But that's okay, because we don't have any of the characteristics of a teacher of God, which would be someone with sense, because someone with a lot of sense would take advantage of all these opportunities to heal. But since we don't, but I shouldn't feel bad about that, because you'd have to have the advanced characteristics, which would be some sense. And he's saying, you don't have sense yet. Not real sense. Not the real deal. I know you all think you got sense, Earl, but you don't have real sense yet.
I got something going on.
No, yeah. Well, I know when I say something like that, sometimes there is a temptation to to bring up that part of the mind that says, well, I do have some sense. You know, what you mean I don't have any sense? Right, right. Now, notice that, okay? So when he tells us we don't have any sense, then we claim our sense. And then when they tell us we do have sense, then we act crazy. You know, the books that I tell them is, you do have sense, you do have sense. And then like, the more we hear, you are love, it's almost like the more we watch ourselves do really crazy, stupid stuff that we get upset with ourselves about. But as soon as I was told I didn't have no sense, then I want to claim my sense. You tell me I do have sense, then I'm going to tell you where I don't have sense. Mm. See, I'm always do that. My mind's going to go just the opposite. So the Course is really like, the Course is constantly using an incredible level of psychological manipulation all the time on us in order to get us to go to the other mind, the right mind. Like, it knows if I tell you that you don't have any sense, you're going to go for your sense. If I say you don't know how to love, you're going to say, yes, I do. There's a part of me that knows. So it's telling me that I won't get the real gift out of our relationship until I see a healing and I see some peace and I see some oneness and I see some love in it. And then out of that love will be the gift. And that is our advancement, the fact that we were able to create love in our relationship. That is the advancement. That is the growth. Okay, any questions about that first paragraph?
That's me. I fell right into it.
Mm.
You said it, I was like, I have plenty of it.
There you go.
You
that's what I'm talking about. And
I'm saying,
that's right.
I got tons.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. You absolutely know how to love everybody in every situation exactly the same.
Oh, no, they're all different.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. And so real love is not doing love different. That's the difference between real love and our love. Our love chooses certain people and excludes others. And that's what makes it not real love.
Right.
But it's the kind of love that a separated mind can do. It's the easiest love for a separated mind, because if you're separate, the easiest thing in the world for you to do is exclude.
Right.
And if you're separate, it's hard to join, because it's more natural to be separate. So at the level of the world, the best that we can do usually is special love, where we single one person out for love and then we exclude everybody else. Because that's just, in most cases, it's simple. Because everybody wants attention who thinks that they're special, and so you could just have 10 or 20, 30, 40, 100 people want your attention. And I don't know how much fun that would actually be at a physical level.
Exhausted.
You'd be kind of exhausted. So for the sake of simplicity, then people choose one relationship, and then in most cases, they won't even give themselves peace in that. But they at least choose one. Okay, now we're trying to go beyond the not having peace in the relationship to having peace in the relationship, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, moving on.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out who these people are that have all their sense.
Well,
who are those people?
Right there.
The people.
I love you, Marie.
The people that
I
appreciate that. I knew you were doing that too.
Thank
I just want to acknowledge you for being willing to hang around this. Well, that's what the Course says. If you have it, what you're supposed to do is rejoice with everybody. So you just kind of hang out just to rejoice with everybody. So that's cool. So it's only two kind of people. It's people who are rejoicing and people who are trying to let go of what keeps them from rejoicing. Those are only two kind of people, two kinds of people in the world.
Plus, it must make you feel better to be around me. Feeling all rejoiceful.
That's what I'm saying.
Seeing where you're not.
I share my joy.
That's deep. That's deep. That's deep.
Okay. I feel the joy.
Yeah, I can feel the joy. I can feel the joy. Yeah, I know it, but isn't that great how the Course does it, though? Immediately, it immediately pushes up that part of you that's claiming that you are sane. I mean, you know, I love that, you know. I love how it upsets the ego, and it flicks the ego and makes the ego actually tell the truth about itself, which is powerful.
I have a confession to make, though.
What's that?
I did go to the medicine cabinet before I came and took me, you know,
ego
profens.
But that's absolutely a smart thing to do, because taking that was symbolic of your willingness to be healed.
I got some ego sporing too.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Use whatever symbols you need to. I think it's important to have free symbols. Yeah, you gotta play with your symbols innocently, whether it's your medicine or your food or your jogging or your clothes or all the symbols we play with out here. Mm-hmm. While we're pretending like something we do out here really has effects on anything real. You know, because our ego would freak out if it didn't have something to do out here to make it think it was healing itself. So, you know, I let my ego take the medicine. I let my ego do whatever it needs to do without judging myself. Oh, if I was really spiritual, I would just get rid of my headache mentally, and I never would get the, you know, acetaminophen or whatever it is. It's like, yeah, but let me tell you something, you know, why you want to just sit around with a headache for 5 hours that could be gone in 5 minutes, and therefore increasing your focus on pain just because you're trying to prove to yourself that you can heal yourself, which obviously you can't do it. You wouldn't have the freaking headache. So I mean, how long would it take you to get that you can't heal yourself and you would already been healed? So you need to temporarily believe in something outside of yourself, because you already do believe in something outside of yourself, or you would heal yourself right now. So it's like he says, it's great to temporarily rely on external things when you can't heal through your mind. There's nothing wrong with doing that. You know, if I can't feel the love within myself, there's nothing wrong with me allowing myself to have an external symbol of that love that I have for myself and another person. You know, as long as I realize that I don't feel the love within myself. You know, as long as I tell the truth about what's going on within myself, then it's okay for me to look outside myself for the answer. If I tell myself the truth, which is, like he was saying, if I really knew how to heal, I wouldn't need to take the aspirin. So since I haven't healed myself, let me go take the aspirin. Why? Because obviously I believe in the power of the aspirin more than I believe in my power to heal myself. And so, therefore, the aspirin will work, because that's where I put my power. That's why somebody else could take the aspirin, and they would swear the headache was still there. That person chose not to believe that aspirin will heal headaches. This person chose to believe that aspirins will heal headaches. And that's the way it works. That's the way everything works. Some people choose relationships to heal. Some people choose relationships to delay. Section is deep anyway. I love having you all here to share this with. Because I used to look at the Course in Miracles and I swear it was so hard to understand. And it's like I look at it now and I actually see the simplicity of everything it's saying. And what's such a trip about it is that if you see what it's saying, it always ends up making you feel better about yourself the way you are. That's how you can always tell if you don't hear it correctly. Like, for instance, and he says, first of all of y'all are different. Okay, cool. All right. Then he says, then at the beginning, we don't even have the characteristics that we're aspiring to right now, so don't be upset with yourself about that. Cool. When we have a special role, every one of us want to feel special in some way. The book turns around and says, well, you do. You have a special role in the plan that nobody else but you can do. But this special role is going to be born in the relationships that you have with each other. So it's out of the relationships that you have with each other that you discover what your role is, because inside the relationship you see real quick what your role is. All of a sudden you start to see the part you play, you know. And so he says, as we advance in our learning, then we're going to have these deeper characteristics, so that's, we're all alike. So all of our differences are temporary. And he says, but now I'm going to describe to you the way you're going to be when you actually get it. Okay, so that's what I'm about to share. Not the way we are now, but the way we're going to be when we get it. Because if I know how I'm going to be when I get it, I can recognize when I got it. Okay, so let's see if we can help each other remember what we're going to be like when we get it. All right, he says, the first characteristic that you're going to have when you really get your act together, Earl, is trust. He says, trust is the foundation upon which your ability to fulfill your function rests on trust. I'm not going to be able to fulfill my function in my relationship with you unless there is some trust, because the way that I see you and the way you see me is the result of learning. You've learned to see me the way you see me, and I've learned to see you the way I see you. And so perception is learning, because cause and effect are never separate. I'm seeing what I learned, and I'm learning what I'm seeing. I'm seeing what I've learned, and I'm learning what I'm seeing. So you're not seeing me, you're seeing what you learned.
I learn something pretty special then.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Because the only point it's trying to get us to see is that we're seeing what we've learned, but that doesn't mean that's necessarily something bad if we're seeing something we love or something we like or something we appreciate, but we still need to get, we're seeing what we learn. Same thing I was thinking. Then it says, to say when you really get your act together, you're going to have trust in the world. And the reason why you finally have trust in the world is because you would have learned that the world is not governed by laws you made up. You won't be able to trust the world until you learn it's not governed by any of the rules we made up. None of the rules that mankind has made up rule the world.
Thank God.
Right. He says the world is governed by a power that's in us, but didn't come from us. So your world is governed by a power that's in you, but it didn't come from you. And it's a power that's in you that didn't come from you that's going to make everything in your world safe. It's a power that's in you that you didn't create that's going to make your world safe. And so it's through the power in us that we look on a healed world. Through the power in us, but it didn't come from us. And I need to realize that what I'm looking at is what I've learned, and that my perception is learning. So I need to develop some trust. I'm trying to develop trust. That's going to be the first characteristics. He says, once you experience this power that's in you that didn't come from you, you'll never try to trust in your own petty strength again. So I never trust in my human strength. Once I experience my divine strength, I'll never trust in my human strength again because it is petty in terms of my God strength. Okay. Now, does it sound like it's putting me down as a human being? Okay, it's going to check in.
Takes off some pressure.
That's the way
you
I experience
to be,
it.
Like, yeah, the world on your shoulders.
Yeah, it's like it's going to be cool that to feel the world holding you up, which is what it's doing. Right now, it's actually holding us. But I walk around like I'm holding it. Who would attempt to fly with the tiny wings of a sparrow when the mighty power of an eagle has been given him? And why would you place your faith in the shabby offerings of your ego when the gifts of God are laid before you? In other words, what is it that makes you make this shift to your greater power? What is it that will take us into the shift? I want to get into my greater power. What's going to take me into the shift? Okay, so first,
trust.
Okay, so now he's going to describe how you develop it, the development of trust. And it's going to describe the stages you go through when you're developing trust in anything.
Knowledge.
He says first thing that you're going to go through is a period of undoing. When you first try to trust somebody, you're going to go through a period of undoing. This doesn't have to be painful, but it's usually experienced as pain. Because when you're first developing trust, it's going to look like some things are being taken from you. And it's rarely understood initially that what's happening is their lack of value is being recognized. So when you first start developing trust, you go through a period of undoing. And during the period of undoing, it looks like things are leaving your life. But what's really happening is you no longer value those things the way you used to. So you're finally beginning to see what's valuable when it looks like things are beginning to leave your life. So I think about that. This is some deep stuff. I know we got to, you know, and if we don't talk about it, we're going to go unconscious.
Could you repeat it?
It's talking about I want to develop trust, and when I want to develop trust, the first thing that's going to look like is I'm going through an undoing. It's going to look like some things are leaving my life. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, I'm just no longer valuing those things the way that I used to value those things. And the reason why that's happening is because I haven't been willing to change internally. And so whenever you're not willing to change internally, then it will look like you are going to have a change in your external circumstances. So people who are always going through a lot of changes in their life are people who are refusing to change internally. And when you don't change internally, then you have to have something happen to you externally to get you to change. And that's usually, to me, not the most pleasant way. And so the book is saying that unless I get to the point that I'm willing to recognize what doesn't have value, then I'll keep having things happen to me that shows me what has value and what doesn't have value from the outside.
Thank you.
I need to say it because the Course in Miracles access a part of our mind that's not the one we use all the time, literally. And so it is so easy when you're hearing it to tune it out because your ego doesn't want you to hear this. The part of you that keeps fear going, it doesn't want you to hear anything that I'm saying. We got to get that there's a part of us that doesn't want to hear anything that's going to give us peace all the time. And that's the part of us that likes conflict. And this is telling us that don't start to freak out when you're developing trust and it looks like something is leaving your life, because all it means is that you're in a position now that you can actually begin to see what's valuable, and you're also cutting down on the possibilities of something having to happen to you to make you change. That's good news. I don't have to be forced into a change. He says, so when you realize that every change you go through in your life is helpful, then you go to the next stage of developing trust. As soon as I get to the point that I realize all the changes in my life have been helpful, everything that's ever happened to me in my entire life has helped me. Every single thing that I've ever experienced is helpful. He says, when you get to the point you really mean that about whatever's happened to you, so then you're ready for the next stage. So I want to practice believing that everything that's ever happened to me has helped me. Does that make sense?
Experience says this is so totally true.
Yeah, that's why I was curious to get your thoughts about that. How does that feel to say everything in my life was helpful, as opposed to saying all my past is just, I had this miserable past?
It feels good to say that.
Yeah, it feels good to go, even the stuff that I don't like.
I don't think you realize that it's helpful. So you don't always realize
it. No, not at the time.
Well, he was saying right here that you don't even go to the second stage until you really see that every change you've ever been through is helpful. Obviously, I don't see every change I ever go through is helpful. I would be happy all the time, because everything that would be happening, no matter what it was, would be benefiting me. So I have to feel good all the time. So anybody that don't feel good all the time is somebody who doesn't believe that everything that's happened to them is helpful. So when you study the Course, after a while, it doesn't really matter to you what people say with their words, because their words don't mean anything anymore, because their actions will be revealing everything you need to know about where they're coming from. And that's deep. But then it makes you seem like you're a mind reader to people, but you're not. It's just that the Course in Miracles teaches you exactly what people are going to do when they think they're separate. And everybody does the same thing when they think they're separate. The only difference is the form they do it in. So we do it in different appearances, but we're basically doing the same thing. Like I know if you think I'm different from you and you think that I'm not you, then I know that there's no way we're going to really, really trust each other and really, really love each other. There just ain't no way. If I'm looking out for me and you're looking out for you, we obviously don't know what we want. So out of knowing that a person is separate, then you know that competition comes up, fear comes up, specialness comes up, judgment comes up. In other words, you know what's going to come out of that idea. And so the Course completely shares exactly what the mind is going to do that thinks it's afraid. And once you know that, then you can avoid pain by recognizing what's going to hurt you before you even let it get into your experience. Because if you're trying to learn how not to attack, because that's the way you go to the next level is through peace, then how can you be safe in the world? Then the world believes in attack, but you've decided you're not going to attack anybody for anything. Well, the only thing that can protect you in a situation like that is awareness. And so spirit is coming in trying to make us totally aware of when we're around loving minds and we're safe, and when we're around fearful minds and we're not safe, so that we can recognize, he said, recognize it and go the other way. And then that's how you keep yourself from having that pain coming to your experience. But it's a challenge for people to admit to themselves, in my experience, that they have a part of their mind that doesn't know, that is crazy, that does hate, that is jealous, that doesn't, especially truth students. Truth students tend to detest the idea of ever admitting to their shadow. They want to pretend like they love everybody and they feel good about everything, which obviously isn't true, or you would be in bliss at all times. If you truly only knew the truth and only practiced the truth, you would fairly be levitating around the room. You know what I'm saying? So when I'm around somebody who's saying that to me, I know this is a person that is very much in denial about what's going on in their own ego. And so And so therefore they may be inconsistent in terms of how they act versus what they say. And so you can forgive people easier when you recognize that they're going to make a mistake to begin with, because they don't know how to love. And anybody that doesn't know how to love is going to be inconsistent in the way that they relate to you. So you wouldn't have an unrealistic expectation of you're going to be with somebody and y'all never going to get upset, or nobody's ever going to get angry, or you're going to always have peace 24 hours a day. You know, it's like you let go of all those kind of unrealistic expectations. And so when somebody does make a mistake, you know that they don't know how to really love yet, and you don't either. So you overlook it faster than you think. If someone tells you they love you no matter what, and then they do something off the wall, and they promise you, I'll never, 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 never get angry at you, ever, 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 you know, and that kind of stuff that people are saying to each other, and then the first time they get mad at you, then you're freaking, because they promise you that they would never attack you like that. You know, but if you were to walk up to a person and say, you know, I don't really know how to love, but I really want to learn. What about you? You know, a relationship based on that premise will last years and years and years. And all the relationships that I have that are real old relationships since I got in the course are always relationships where we admit to each other that we don't know what the hell we're doing, and we don't know what love is. And sometimes we go crazy, and then sometimes we don't have a really sane mind. And I need you to kind of remember that for me. Now, those relationships I have, they last. The ones that are based on pretending that you never have those kind of feelings, what I've noticed is that the first time either person does anything that upsets the other, they separate just like that. Just like the first thing they do is separate. They don't try to go through it. They don't try to work through that. They don't try to do anything. They just go, I'm gone. I'm out of here. You know. So people who expect that unconditional kind of love that never has any flaws in it, they never hang for the, you know, for the real relationship to go through it. You know, they're gone the minute there's a little tremble of anything. But somebody that knows we don't know how to love, but love is in us, and we're trying to let the love come through us, and we're trying to get rid of everything that blocks that, then when that stuff come up that tries to separate you, then your desire to be together will take you past that obstacle, because you want to be in relationship with each other so much, you're not going to let anything come between that. And so nothing can. So the only thing that can come between anybody's relationship with anybody else is both people involved not being 100% committed to their relationship. Because if you're 100% committed to your relationship, you could have 100 relationships and they never conflict with each other. The conflict comes from not being 100% committed to the relationship. But yeah, because they're afraid that we associate love with vulnerability and sacrifice. So the more that I love you, then the more vulnerable I am. And so the Course says we think the strength comes in putting those walls up, you know. And so if I really want to be with you, if I really want to be in a relationship with you, then whatever comes up between us, we would, which is such a trip when you think about it. Because if something does come up between us, what could it possibly be but something both of us could choose not to be bothered by? And then it wouldn't even be a problem. You know, which is deep when you really think about it. You know, like people are like, oh my God, well, how can we deal with it? Just, well, I love you, and the fact that you made love to 200,000 bears last night is not going to affect the way that I feel about you, so therefore it has no effect on the way I feel about you, so therefore it is no problem. So, you know, it's like when I begin to see the power of interpretation, the more I begin to see the power of choice, like we could just choose that this doesn't have to be an issue. And that's it. Then it's not an issue. And I'm beginning to see that. And then I realize that the only reason why it would be an issue is that both of us are looking for an excuse to separate.
Mm-hmm. Or pretend that it's not there.
Or to pretend that it's not there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, because I guarantee you, let some real joining happen. Let some real love happen. And see how fast you separate. See how fast the fear come up. There's nothing that brings up fear more in this world than real love. You know, it's one of the most frustrating things that you go through when you're trying to practice it. Like it's almost like the more you try to practice it, the more suspicious people get of you. It's like I've never been more loving in my life than I am right now. But I also have never scared people the way I do, as I do right now. Because it's hard for people to believe that you could just really be telling the truth. You know, that you can just really be friggin' meaning what you say. It just doesn't even dawn on them. Yeah, I said I love you. I really do. I say, you say, you really are. You know, I say, I'm not trying to get anything for you. I'm really not. It's like it doesn't, it's like it's almost like it doesn't dawn on us that the person could actually be meaning what they really say. So our ego, it doesn't have any, it goes crazy. It's frustration because it knows how to defend. It knows how to try to figure out a manipulative mind. But the ego doesn't know anything, doesn't have the slightest freaking idea how to deal with somebody that's real or something that's real. You want to baffle us? Let something real show up. The Course says it immobilizes us. It literally paralyzes us. And it brings up our fear of the unknown because I really don't know how to deal with that. So actually, the person who's trying to be the most loving can actually seem the most like the devil. You know, you're so good at your deception, you really look kind. You know, you really do. You really are acting nice, you devil, you. You know, you're the biggest deceiver I've ever seen. Why? Because you rescued me from a burning building. Anybody that loving has got to be a trick. What is it that you want? You know, and I'll watch it. I'll just observe it. And haven't you observed that?
Yes,
I've seen it. I see it all the time.
I've been all been there at some point in my life.
Yeah, that's what I'm experiencing right now. It's like right now I'm in another freaking world. I'm in another reality and my body still looks like it's here. I mean, all the stuff that I've studied all these years has now brought about a monumental friggin' shift in my consciousness that I don't know what the hell to do with. It is, my mind is so different now that I feel like it's just electrical charges going through my body all the time and every fear that I've ever had, that feeling of that fear is coming up, but it's coming up like something pouring out of me to be released. And my biggest prayer is, Lord, let somebody recognize me.
I recognize you, and I
want to
be right there too.
You know, I mean, thank you. I mean, I feel so unrecognized.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, so I have to let that thought come up, not to defend, not to correct, not to fix. Let that thought come up, let that feeling come up, and then up under that feeling is the feeling of recognition. But we don't get to those feelings because everybody tries to stop us when we say anything that doesn't sound positive.
We all feel that way.
But you'd be amazed at how little we'll admit it.
I definitely admit it.
Okay, well, cool. That's what I'm saying. Okay, and that's the healing, you see. That's the healing.
I'm recognized all the time.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. That's the healing. The healing is to be able to say it, but not a person look at you and tell you another way to look at it, or tell you that you shouldn't look at yourself that way, or da 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 da. It's like all of those attempts is just a way to keep that feeling.
That's
the ego working on you, right? Because it's only the ego that corrects. Okay, so what's really awesome is to be in an environment where you can say it and therefore let it go. You know what I'm saying? But it's like we've got to tell the truth about our ego, and it's hard for people to tell the truth about their ego. That's the part they want to hide from people, is their ego. But the person you can be open about your ego with, that is the person you really trust. Mm-hmm. If you're around people and you know nothing about their personal life at all, you haven't reached a real level of trust yet.
So what happens when here you are, just your little, you know, individual self, mm-hmm. and you go out and you make real connections with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come home to your special relationship,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden your special relationship is freaking out on all these real connections that you're having everywhere else and trying to create separation in those other outside relationships.
Well, that's because any time you extend to anybody else, that's energy and attention that you're taking away from them. And the nature of a special relationship is a relationship where you want the full attention all put on you. You know what I'm saying? I call it a special attention relationship. And so that person is not aware that if you were actually able to go out and have real connections and really enjoy those real connections, the only thing that would happen would be you would come home and you would appreciate them a whole lot more, because they would be exemplifying love at a level that most people that you would meet out there wouldn't. You know what I'm saying? I have been in a relationship for 24 years that was based on The Course in Miracles. It's like I got into The Course in Miracles 1 week, and then I gave this book to the person I'm in a relationship with the next week. Her name's Andrea. And so we used The Course in Miracles, and we studied The Course in Miracles. We've been studying The Course in Miracles for 24 years. And what has been the most powerful thing about their relationship is that we've always tried as best we could to apply The Course in Miracles teachings to our relationship instead of what we learned from the world. So we will always do just the opposite of what the world would teach. You know, our goal was this. We would not withdraw our love from each other because of anything the body said or did. That was our rule in order to experience an unconditional love. We were not going to ever release the love that we have for each other because of anything our bodies would say or do. Because I felt like I did not want to be in a love relationship with a person that I could lose the love. Because then I could never surrender totally, and I could never enjoy the relationship totally if I was afraid that it could be snatched out from up under me in any minute. And I also knew that the main thing people snatch the rug out from under each other about is something that the body does or something that the body said. Those are usually the two things. Something the body did, something the body said. So, yeah, I saw you with that body. You did that body. What did you do with that other body? You know, all that stuff around the body. Who are you giving attention to? Because at the level of the ego...
These eyes don't lie.
Yeah, and at the level of the ego, the Course says we judge, you know, we judge love by what the body does.
Mm-hmm.
And in most cases, by you having exclusive use to somebody's body to the exclusion of everybody else. That's like what is the greatest symbol of specialness in this world. And so we immediately saw that that was a very flawed way to judge love. And so we knew that we had grown up in the world just like everybody else, with the same values that everybody else and the same ideas about what's proper to do in a relationship and all that kind of stuff. But our desire to be connected at a spiritual level was stronger than our desire to try to defend a old way of thinking that we saw wasn't making nobody happy. We didn't see one, you know, we didn't see anybody doing it the ego's way that was really and truly happy. So my point is, as a result of that, we have been able to maintain a relationship with each other that was that's been invulnerable, while at the same time being totally free to express ourselves in whatever way we want to express ourselves. And to see that gives you a feeling of safety that's so far beyond anything that the world's ideas offer that it'll freak you out. You know what I'm saying? Because you know that this person is in your corner. You don't have to be afraid to share anything with the person that you know loves you and frees you and really wants you to be happy. A person like that would never try to limit what would bring you joy. So all of a sudden you see it's easy to tell who loves you and who doesn't real quick. And so as soon as you see who doesn't, you don't attack them, you don't try to hurt them, you don't love them any less. You just prepare to forgive, because you know that if you're going to be in a relationship with them, you're going to have to learn how to forgive. Because if they don't really love you, which means they have all these demands and scripts for you that you better do, or they're going to take their love away, well, then you know that if that's true, there's always that possibility that you may do something that will make them take their love back. And so you have to always be prepared for that realization that a love with a lot of fear in it cannot be depended on. You know, and so I made the decision that I wanted to have real relationships. And let me tell you, you don't run across that many people who really want to do what we've done. You really don't. I mean, I've taught for a long time, and I've met hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, thousands of students. I'm telling you, I can count the number of people on one hand that I've ever seen practice unconditional love and freedom in a relationship. Because people always think you're talking about swinging, or you're talking about sex, or you're talking, you know, because that's where the ego know it can always go to scare away anything real. Just make somebody think it's about sex in the body, you know they're going to run for the hills. But the truth is, most people still think they need to control another person in order to be happy, and they don't want to admit that, because that doesn't sound right, but it's the truth. You know, if I'm going to withdraw my love from you because you don't act the way I want you to act, that's me trying to control you. I don't care what you say. That's me trying to control you. And if I love you, I would not be trying to control you. What I would do is be true enough to myself to draw somebody to me just like me, who naturally expresses themselves the same way that I do, and so we're not making each other do anything. We just naturally do things that both of us love. You know, so like he's saying about developing trust, you know, in the beginning it'll look like things are being taken away from you, but the only thing that's happened is you're beginning to understand that it's not valuable to have somebody or some situation in your life that's attacking you or limiting you. And all those people in situations that you've used for that, then they're going to start to move out of your life. And that's a trip. You know, because sometimes you want them, even if they're attacking you. You know, which is a trip. You know, even if they're hurting you, you still want them around. You know. And then Spirit says, all right, cool. You want them around? No problem. Forgive them. Constantly, all day. Yeah, because if they don't love you and they're attacking you and you're choosing to have them in your life, then you got to forgive their attacks. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm talking about. That sounds like a lot of energy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. To spend all your time trying to look at somebody hurting you differently, trying to find a way to feel good about some crappy stuff. That's what I think a lot of people are doing on the path. They're living a life they don't like, thinking that being spiritual means forcing yourself to like a life that you don't like. And when you can like the life you don't like, somehow you're spiritually evolved. And that's such a screwed up thought.
Bunch of crap.
But don't you see it? But don't you see people doing it? Don't you see people who aren't happy thinking that they should be happy?
Because they have everything that seems like it should look like they should
be
happy.
But they're never happy because they always want more.
Mm-hmm. Either they want more, or they're not happy because they don't recognize what's right in front of their face.
Can't see it for the forest.
Cannot see it. It's like in most cases, everything we need is right in front of our face. That's what I mean by being recognized. Mm-hmm. Is that people will say, I want a kind person in my life. And you can be a kind person sitting right there, and they don't even get it. Or they can say, I really want this kind of person for a partner. And they'll describe perfectly the characteristics of that partner. And you'll be sitting right there with all those characteristics. They don't even see it. Because all their attention is focused on the person that's not satisfying them. Because the ego tells you, you know, that that's where the lack is located. So the same thing to do is focus all your attention on where that needs to be fixed. Because the cool people are handled. And so you end up not putting any energy into the people that you really flow with, and you end up putting all your energy into the people in situations you don't, and then wonder why the situation that doesn't work continues to expand. You know what I'm saying? If I took the time I spend trying to fix somebody or some situation I didn't like, and took that exact same energy and focused on the people that I flow with and love and situations that I trust, that beauty of that energy, of that joy, would extend over to the area where I have the problem and correct it. Because mm-hmm. it would be corrected from me being happy and being around the people that I'm happy. But the ego mind does just the opposite. It neglects that which brings its joy and happiness and harmony and takes all of its energy and puts it on the thing that's presented with the greatest conflict and think that that's what growing means. Where really that part of your life needs to be exposed to the other part of your life that's in harmony.
Sounds so easy.
Mm-mm. Like the passion. No way is that easy.
I know. I say it sounds easy.
No. I have a daughter that I live that life every day.
Oh, it's simple.
No, it's not simple.
Not simple, but it's not that easy.
Oh.
concept is simple. Mm-hmm.
It's easier than any solution we come up with. See, that's what we don't realize. It's still easier than any solution you're going to come up with to deal with your daughter. Or I'm going to come up with to deal with my... It's like the truth is... I mean, you can't tell me that being told that if I was to allow myself to be around the people and situations that I enjoy, and that would heal the part of my life that I have a problem in, it's no way that's harder than for me to be constantly putting my energy in the person I'm having conflict with, never being with the people that I have love with. This is easier. It is easier. I'll say it is easier. Yeah, it's easier than what we do. What this is telling us is easier. Now, am I willing? Am I willing to love myself enough to make sure that I make time for the people that I love? See, that's what it, that's the part you can call hard.
That is hard.
Yeah,
it's you like, have to do it.
Yeah, if you see the benefit of it, you will do it.
Right.
It's like he was saying, once you see the benefit of it, then nobody will have to make you do it. You just haven't seen the benefit of it.
That's right.
Yeah. So if I say that, man, it is more of a benefit to join with the people that I love and I have peace with than to constantly be in conflict with somebody, and I really got that, it wouldn't be hard to make myself spend time with you. That wouldn't be hard at all. You know, so what is it that you think makes us put all our attention into the conflict and then makes us be afraid of the love?
Because that's what we understand and what we know best. It's harder for us to, like, step back and make the right choice when it just kind of off the top of your head, it's so much easier to go with the fear.
I think that goes back to the trust and trusting in the love, you know, because you don't have the trust, I guess.
Like, you can almost do the fear thing unconsciously.
Yeah.
It's a comfortable feeling.
Yeah.
So what did y'all think about...
That doesn't make any sense, but it's comfortable.
So what did y'all think about the relationship that I told you about? That I have.
I think that sounds fantastic.
Do you think that's a good goal? You think that's a cool goal?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's definitely the kind of relationship, if I could idealize a kind of fantastic relationship, that's exactly what it'd be.
And you know what's so cool about a relationship like that? Is that it would not stop me from having the relationship I have with you.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what's so cool about it. You know, I can, my real relationship does not stop me from having other real relationships. It encourages it. That is so cool. Then I don't have to feel guilty about having love for you, or having love for you, or having love for you, because we realize that that's how you make the whole thing stronger. That's deep.
That is so deep, and I get it, and I want it when I'm here, and I'm listening to you, and or I'm doing my meditation, or I'm in my most spiritual space. And then I go into the fake world, and I'm surrounded by all these people that don't understand, and it kind of slowly brings me right back to, oh, you're right, I'm the crazy one, you know? Like, it's just,
yes.
So it's hard to keep that and own that truth for yourself in this world. I think that's where I'm struggling, because I want to have it so bad constantly. And I don't have it.
Well, like I said, we don't have the deeper characteristics yet because we're at the beginning.
Right.
Right? But you hit on a very key point that the Course makes over and over again. There is a point on the spiritual path that you cannot go on from that point alone. And we are used to doing everything alone. And so our ego is freaked out now. You see, in other words, you're right. You can't go out in the fake world and by yourself keep that center. That's what the book is saying. That's why you need to make sure that I'm in your life and you're in my life. That's why we need to make sure that you're in my life and I'm in your life. You know, that's why. I mean, it isn't like a nice little game of, oh, I just hope I run into you. You know, it's like, no. We are actually each other's saviors. And if we don't use the relationships that we have with each other to practice the principles that we're reading in this book, we'll never get out of this world of fake love. I don't want no more fake love. What'd you say?
Continue to be trapped in our specialness.
Right. And the book is saying, well, you know, if you let the Holy Spirit use your specialness can be used to your advantage. So it's not even like it's anti-specialness. It's like saying, I want you to stop using your desire to be special to hurt yourself. And I want to show you how to use your desire to be special to heal yourself. And then your mind goes, well, how? Well, realize you are unique. And you do have a special role to play. And you need to play your role. And your role is important. You wanted to be special. You are special. There is no one else exactly like you. And you have your own special way of bringing love and truth into the world. And so that's going to automatically make you special with anybody you meet. You'll never have to worry about being special simply because there's no one else like you temporarily. Right, that's what it says. Temporarily. Yeah. Temporarily, you got it, you know. Yeah. And so that temporarily means a physical lifetime. That is the textbook definition of temporarily. A physical lifetime. So in a physical lifetime, we are special. We are different. And so we're forming these special relationships, but we've been using them to manipulate each other instead of using them to free each other, using them to remind each other of the truth as you go to the movie, make love, eat, hike, out, swim, dance, all the stuff that we like to do. We can still do it, but the only difference is now we're doing it with a brand new purpose. So there's no sacrifice. There's no loss. You can still have all the toys and trinkets of the world that you want. But you would just not be using them to make yourself feel guilty. So I want real relationships. And it's funny to be around so many people who are even in the truth who still want to do relationships the same old way that everybody else does them. And it just blows my mind because I'm so used to truth students being so cutting edge. And what I'm noticing now is truth students who are just trying to use the truth to get the same thing that everybody else want who don't have the truth. They just want to use the truth to get it. But it's the same goal. You know, it still isn't about, you know, really going for what's real. It's still about me getting my fantasy fulfilled. And I just want God to fulfill my fantasy. God is like my genie. I'm going to rub God on God's belly, and then God going to give me that flat screen TV. You know what I'm saying?
How easy that is?
Well, yeah. There are very few people that seek the truth for the sake of seeking the truth or seek God for the sake of seeking God. It's usually I'm seeking God to help me solve, resolve, or heal some situation that's bothering me. Seldom that you say anybody say, what I really want to know more than anything else is my connection to my source and to know my oneness and to know who I am beyond the body. That's not often that you hear that come out of somebody's mouth when you ask them what you're really into.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Kind of when I met you, I was like, well, I'm on my path.
And yeah.
That's way my way of saying that, you know, I'm here. Now, you know, let me follow wherever that light goes. And
thank God. Thank God. That's why we're in each other's presence.
Precisely.
Because we want the same thing. You know, somehow or another, we started to want what was real beyond the dream. You know, and so when I'm with you, it's when I feel like I'm not alone in that sense. It's that sense of feeling like I'm not insane. That there's somebody else that gets that this is crazy beside me, even though I'm looking at the game I used to play. So I'm not judging it. It's just the game I don't want to play anymore. I want to have peace. And I can actually see how you can be in relationship with someone, have all the intimacy that you could possibly imagine, and all the safety at the same time. You can have both of them. You can have the freedom, you can have the intimacy, and you can have the safety. But it has to be a decision to not suffer and a decision for your happiness and a real decision. So it's time to apply the ideas instead of just analyzing the ideas and philosophizing about the ideas. You know what I'm saying? It's like I want to have that. I want to have a real relationship. You know what I'm saying? I want to have a relationship where, you know, if I don't care who I was in a relationship with, if you wanted to call me, and if you wanted to go out with me, and if you wanted to hang out with me, you could do it without feeling like afraid or like one of you going to get upset about it. You know what I'm saying? That's the kind of relationship I have. So I know it's possible because I have it. But what I want to do is join with other people who want to have it because we're one. I mean, you are just as much a part of me as anyone is. I'm tired of singling out myself over another part of myself even though we all have unique relationships with each other that we can only have with each other at the exact same time. It's wild, man. But all it takes is just one other person to look you in the eye and really want to believe you're telling the truth and you're one, and they're willing just for a minute to get out of their fear and say, I'm going to open my heart. I'm not going to put the wall up. I'm not going to protect myself. I just love to be in a relationship with somebody here in this city that was not protecting themselves. A little hold back just a little bit. I said, I don't know. It might be suspicious. It might be some kind of thing. You know, you just after my body. You know, it's all about the body. I know that's what it is. I know that's what it is. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, it's like, I know. You know what I'm saying? You know, like, and yeah, ultimately, I know. You know, you're saying whatever you're saying, but the truth is, it's about the body. You know? Because you feel that, especially in male to female relationships. It's like that's like the ultimate, like, it's got to be the goal. I mean, it's always been the goal. I mean, in no way possible that couldn't be ultimately your goal, you know, because my ego knows how to deal with that. But my ego does not know how to deal with somebody that's not that way.
Mm-hmm. Especially if they've never dealt with somebody that way before.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. You know, it is so... The amount of love and passion and feeling that comes through you when you are in a relationship that you're not defended in is beyond anything you can possibly imagine in bliss. It's so far beyond what you experience just in a physical sexual experience that it is unbelievable. I mean, what it does is it totally enhances the physical special experience. Sexual experience, because you're no longer having one from guilt. People have no idea how good it feels to love someone or make love to someone or be intimate with someone, and you don't have any guilt about the way you're expressing yourself with each other because you feel so one and you feel so safe and you feel so innocent. That the passion and the feeling that comes through you is so far beyond the kind of stuff you felt when you were still in the guilt and separate mind that you'll wonder why, how in the world you ever even entertained the way you used to do sex and love. It's so inferior. It's not in the temptation. You know what I mean? Temptation leaves you because what you're having is so good that you just can't be tempted by the old way. You know? I don't care how good somebody looks. If their mind is not joined with mine, I ain't going near that body. I don't care how good she look, I don't care how good he look, I don't care what. You know, if there's some content going on in that form, not because it wouldn't be okay to have meaningless bodily experiences. Lord knows, that's a lot of fun. I mean, you know, but by the same token, it's just so much more when there is some awareness involved. You got the whole thing. And then if it don't happen, you okay. If it do happen, you okay. I love that. You know, like really being able to feel good about whatever is happening in the moment and not feeling like you got to try to get more out of that moment. You know what I'm saying? If you're just holding hands, that's fine. If you're just looking across the room, that's fine. If you are making love, that's fine. It's like if there is no emptiness in your experiences with the people that you're in real relationship with. Everything you all do together is totally satisfying. Whew. I want that. And y'all want that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And everybody wants that?
Everybody's going to say they want it, but they just bullshitting.
Oh, heck no.
I think some people don't even think that deeply into something.
They don't even
like
know
that.
What it's all about.
Mm-hmm. I said the vast majority.
Yeah.
I would say the vast majority of people do not entertain anything mm-hmm. we talked about today. Mm-hmm. It doesn't even cross their mind.
So they don't know what they're missing.
No, so they suffer from a sense of loss
right.
that they don't even understand why they feel it. And you talk to them, because they're the ones who have the good job, have the good house, have the 2.5, have everything. Because I was one of them. I was exactly one of those. I had the wife, I had the two kids, I had the nice place to live, I was an up-and-coming executive, they gave me to promote me again, I had the expense account, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and I was so miserable, I wanted to drown myself in the swimming pool. You know what I'm saying? I'm like going, wait a minute, this is the dream. This is the whole dream. But there is something missing here. Something is wrong with this fact. Yeah. And then his boy said, yeah, you are not in the relationship. What? Everything's here but you. You know, because this isn't a reflection of who you see yourself as being in your deepest heart of hearts. You're not being true to yourself. And so that's why you have everything that appears to be the perfect thing, but there's this hole in there that you're filling, you know. And then that's when I went renegade, right? And then they started doing all this true stuff and metaphysical stuff and all this spiritual stuff. It seemed like everybody, all the ministers was being sent to come over and pray for me. I was going to go straight to hell. And I mean, people were like going to intervene. It just, you know. And the only thing they did, and they couldn't figure out why was it that I was so adamant about continuing my astrology, numerology, Course in Miracles, all this psychic stuff, because they didn't realize it felt like home. It felt so right. It felt so good. The people I was meeting, as weird as I was, and all the things we try to do, and all the experimenting and exploring and trying new things, and, you know, it's like that was what made me feel alive. And I realized that that's the only thing you're supposed to be doing is what really makes you feel alive. And then it'll create how you'll be taken care of, the money you need to live off of, all that stuff. That stuff comes as a result of being true to yourself. And that's what I saw. It's like, damn, you know, people are always moving in and out of my life, yet I still get taken care of teaching this stuff. And it just blows my mind, because I can't say, well, Earl, you've been taken care of because, you know, this person have been with you all these years, and they really see your value, and they say they're going to really support you. People come in and out of my life so fast, and it's getting faster and faster and faster, but the consistent love of God, it's always there. It's always there. And that's a trip to live that. It really is. But I tell you what, it feels more secure to me than when I worked for the phone company, wondering if I might get laid off or whether I was going to break some rule or whether I was, you know. I watch how people live that they say is harder than, and they say that, you know, the way that I live is harder than the way they live. It's like, no, it ain't. No, it ain't.
Because most of the time, we've all lived their kind of life, but they haven't ever stepped over and tried living this kind of life. How can they even make a statement like that without ever having knowing what it's like to live your kind of life?
And just think, that shows you how insane the ego is. Because the ego does that. People will literally have an opinion about a life they aren't even living.
They don't even know.
They don't even know. You know, because maybe I'm not, you know, maybe I don't have an Escalade parked out in front of Unity Temple. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, I couldn't possibly be satisfied. They don't understand. People don't know where I came from. They don't know how much money I've had. People don't know nothing about me. So it's really funny. You know, it's like I've had a chance to have lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of money and lots and lots and lots of stuff. And then I had a chance to have absolutely nothing, being broke down to nothing, nothing, nothing. And I saw that I was just as miserable when I had a lot as when I had a little. So I made the decision that I was just going to focus on having inner peace. Because now I know it doesn't matter which end of the spectrum you go on. If you don't have inner peace, it don't mean nothing. Everybody, now, somebody who haven't had that experience, they are busy thinking, well, if I can get that $20,000 a year, then I know I'm going to really be happy. You just watch them running around doing everything they can. But you already know. You've been blessed. You already know. You know, you really know that the real joy is going to come from, like, the relationships that we're having with each other that's based on trying to recognize who we really are and what love really is and remembering our spiritual identity and getting in touch with our power and fulfilling our function. And we know we got some crappy stuff in our minds that we need to learn how to let go of so we can get in touch with our power. So we're getting together because we want to let go of the blocks. And that's what I'm asking for, God. That's what I'm asking for, universe. I'm asking for holy relationships. And we can party, and we can play, and they don't have a bunch of hang-ups about the body. You know, I want innocence pervading my entire experience at every level, even down to the physical level, because I'm not into that denial of the body stuff either. But I had to ask for it. So then the voice came back and said, well, the only way you can have it, Earl, is you're going to have to be it. And I said, damn, I knew it was a catch. I knew it was a catch. You're going to have to be what you want to have. So you're going to have to be forgiving, be freeing, be peaceful, be joyous, be, you know. And so all of a sudden it became, okay, how can I help you be who you are? You know, you tell me what you want, Carissa, and let me see if I can support you in that. See, that's different from me coming up with a script that I want you to act out. And so it's a, so for me to be, then you can't manipulate. You're trapped in the truth, is what I call it. I'm trapped in the truth. I'm trapped in it. Yeah. You can't, I can't get out. I can't get out. I can't get out of the truth.
Oh,
really, it's deep. So anyway, it's one, that's 105.
Oh, I can talk all day.
I know. I really went a lot of places today. I didn't know I was going. I want to thank you all for that, because I needed to hear that. I need to hear what I say, because that's my frustration right now. Is I want to play harder in terms of going toward the truth.
Yeah.
And it just seems like, it's just, she's like, I want to go, I want to go beyond these limited thoughts that I really, I really want to experience real love.
I want that, and I want that for you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I appreciate that. I really do. I really do.
That's true.
I really do. I really do.
Thank you.
Oh, God.